Death is big business, and tech wants a cut. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. The universe of industries that make money off of dying in this country is extensive, and tech entrepreneurs have managed to insert themselves into various corners of it. See digital estate planning. See also tools that help you crowdfund funeral costs. There's even a startup backed by Mark Cuban that promises to turn a loved one's ashes or hair into a diamond. That is according to culture journalist Mahika Agarwal, who's been reporting on the grief tech industry, including Ghostbots. These are chatbots that are supposed to help us process grief. She wrote about it for Vox and says there is a wide range of options gaining traction right now.
So on the milder side of the spectrum is apps like Storyfile and Hereafter AI that are essentially interactive memory apps. They allow you to record interviews, and then they introduce an AI-powered element to make those interactive. So for instance, if I was planning my funeral and if I wanted my loved ones to have an experience where they could ask me questions about what was your favorite food, what was a memorable time in your life, I would be able to answer back. And then on the other side of the spectrum are apps like You Only Virtual, which essentially aim to recreate the essence of the deceased. They're much more intense. They don't have any disclosures about the app being fictional or how they use privacy data. And the founder basically says that grief shouldn't exist as an emotion in a couple of years because of where we've reached from a technological standpoint.
And what are the ethical concerns that have been expressed about that view?
So obviously the ethics are really muddy around this, especially with the latter model, because vulnerable users most times aren't trying to figure out how their data is being used. And these companies should be putting out a lot more active disclosures and privacy statements than they normally do. Also, the post-mortem consumer protection landscape is really sort of nascent in the United States. On a federal level, there is no post-mortem rights protocol, if I may. And on a state level, they really widely vary. So I think New York and California are currently the only two states that do have some sort of post-mortem publicity rights. But even these extend only to celebrities, and they're widely catered to the emerging trend of celebrity deepfakes that are being used to exploit and monetize the estate of celebrities without explicit consent, and they do not extend to the average citizen. So really, it's a really nascent and muddy ground right now.
Yeah, you know, I had a classmate who lost her mother a number of years ago and wrote about the experience of going through her mom's laptop and trying to piece together her mom's digital life. She actually got surprisingly a lot of blowback for that because it felt to some like an invasion of privacy. Is that an issue here?
For sure. So there's the question of, you know, whether the deceased was able to give consent before they died, which is a thing now. But for many people who have already died, you know, it wasn't a thing when they were around because it's so new and fresh. And the question of sort of inheritance and ownership and who gets to decide how someone's digital footprint is being used and repurposed, I think those are still very active and alive debates in the Silicon Valley and cybersecurity landscape. And we're still trying to figure it out.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. We're back now with Mahika Agarwal. One of the phrases that you use in your writing is death technopreneurship. What is that phrase? What does that phrase mean exactly?
So this phrase was actually coined by the author of this book, Death Glitch, How Techno-Solutionism Fails Us in This Life and Beyond, Tamara Neese, who's a UK-based researcher. And she basically talks about this trend of death technopreneurship and how really around COVID, digital obsolescence really became a point of anxiety for many young people, and they started to figure out how their digital assets were going to be used, or their parents' digital assets should and going to be used after their deaths. And that's when Silicon Valley entrepreneurs really started to seek sort of a piece of the pie. So everything from digital estate planning startups to crowdfunding tools popped up, and grief tech kind of falls into that trend largely.
As someone who has spent so much time reporting on this topic, I have to ask, what do you think of the startupification, if you will, of grief and tech? What does that say about how people in the US process grief?
Yeah, so I'm an Indian journalist, and where I come from, we have really elaborate mourning rituals when someone dies. So for 13 days, you know, the family and the friends of the deceased one gather around food, and no one is expected to go to work. And it's a time when day to night, 9 to 5, everyone just is there, either in some religious activity, food, or whatever that form of community gathering looks like for your family and friends. But for 13 days, everyone sort of gathers to commemorate that person, essentially. And the United States is an exception where no federally mandated bereavement policy exists. Most companies give about 3 or 5 days to process the loss of a loved one, which is barely enough time to arrange a funeral, let alone grieve someone that was close to you. So I just feel like culturally, there's a lack of mourning rituals, and there's this tendency to distract and avoid grief rather than process it and integrate it into your life.
That was culture journalist Mahika Agarwal. One thing especially stuck with me from this interview. It was Mahika's mention of the grief tech CEO who said he hopes people will one day no longer have to feel grief at all. He is Justin Harrison, who founded You Only Virtual, one of the startups we talked about, that focuses on creating communication that seems real between a living person and their deceased loved one. Harrison told a reporter at ABC News, quote, "My mom could have hated the idea, but this is what I wanted, and I'm alive," end quote. Not sure how I feel about outsourcing grief to so-called ghost bots. Grief takes different forms, but as Mahika notes, it does help people process death. There is more on that in her piece for Vox. We've posted links on our website, marketplacetech.org. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Lily Jamali, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.